Okay.
Swamiji, I was wondering if Swamiji could talk about avidya, the status of avidya in Vedanta, and just all of the different aspects of avidya that we need to cover.
There are two visions. One is the vision of the Shruti, Veda, the Vedic vision of who you are. And one's own vision. Either one's vision is right, the Vedic vision is a myth. Or the Vedic vision is right, my vision is myth. It's false. So, if my vision is false, then this false vision, due to what? There is no other reason. Any error has no other reason except the vastu is mistaken. That's all the error. The vastu is taken wrongly. Why it is taken wrongly? Because it is not taken rightly. Why it is not taken rightly? Because vastu is not known. So vastu is not known as it is. And therefore as it is not known is ajnanam, avidya. Wrongly known, that is also avidya. Both the words, not known, wrongly known, these two things are covered by one word, avidya. Shankara covers by one word. This is called avidya. If the Vedic vision is right, the Vedic vision is all that is here, neha nanasti kinchana. There is no second thing at all. So this is a blatant denial of what I see, what I know. So everything is other than me. And therefore, this is a denial of what is. Therefore, it should be wrong. If it is wrong, my struggle to be different from what I am is endless struggle, is a meaningless struggle. And therefore, for my own sake, may the vision of the Shruti be right. Right? That should be my prayer. For my own well-being, I want the Shruti to be right. I don't want it to be wrong. So, that makes me a wishful thinking. And therefore, I should give a chance for the Shruti to prove herself that she is right. And therefore I have no reason to say it is wrong, because I cannot accept myself as a limited being. I want freedom from limitation. That means there should be no second thing. The limitless doesn't allow second thing. So I want to be free from being limited means, what does it mean? It means I need to be limitless. Limitless means non-dual. Non-dual means there is no second thing. The Shruti says the same thing. The human urge is the same thing. Human urge is for the same thing. Therefore, there is avidya. Probably there is avidya, okay? Probably there is avidya. And then, the probability is further established that I do see myself in a better light when I am pleased, when I am happy. In spite of all these factual limitations according to me, therefore, notwithstanding the limitations I am subject to according to my very pragmatic thinking, objective thinking, so I am identified as the physical body, mind, sense complex, and then every one of them is limited. So I am limited in this valid knowledge. When there is such a valid knowledge, how will you establish a probability of my being wrong? If I am limited is wrong, then the right would be I am limitless. You know? If I am limited is wrong, right will be I am limitless. That goes without saying. Then I do experience myself as a whole person. In moments of happiness. Therefore, that establishes the probability. Then we have an acceptance. This is an important thing. We have the acceptance of avidya. Probably there is avidya. That's the basis of inquiry. So avidya removal is not possible without knowledge. And the knowledge is vritti jnanam. Gained knowledge is vritti jnanam. The vritti jnanam means your buddhi has to spirit away this mistake as well as its cause, ignorance. In fact, knowledge doesn't remove mistake. Knowledge removes ignorance, the cause of mistake. If knowledge is opposed to one mistake, then what about the other mistake? Knowledge is of the vastu. It is not knowledge is correcting a mistake. So knowledge is of the vastu. Knowledge can remove only the opposite. And the opposite is ajnana. And this is true with object knowledge also. There is object ignorance and there is object knowledge remove object ignorance. And therefore, vritti jnanam is opposed to ajnanam. Vritti jnanam is opposed to ajnanam. If I have got gata ajnanam, part ignorance, then part knowledge will remove part ignorance. If I have self-ignorance, with reference to what the self is, there is no unknownness of the self. What the self is, that's why I said the self is limited. I have already taken myself to be a limited person. From this it's clear I am either a limited person or I am not. Look at the conclusion. The conclusion is not anything else. All other things are ramifications. I am a limited person. I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am an American, I am male, I am female, I am old, I am young, I am an engineer, I am a doctor, I am this, I am that. All these are ramifications of I am a limited person. So that is the reduction, the logical reduction. that I am a limited person. If this is wrong, I am is evident, self-evident. And then I am is self-evident. Limited is the conclusion. And if that conclusion is wrong, then I have no solution, I have no problem. When I see it is wrong. And then for that knowledge is necessary. I require a pramana for a means of knowledge. And the means of knowledge, so what do I have? So I am a knower. This self-avidya doesn't deny me being a knower. So I am made, it is given to me, a faculty to know, and I am a knower. The faculty to know is there already. Means of knowing I am given for my survival in this world. And a cow also is given. I am also given some means of knowing just for survival. And that is my eyes, ears and all that. And I can infer, cow also can infer. Sometimes animals infer better than human beings. Like a dog does. That's why the policeman goes behind the dog. And the dog leaves. He goes behind the dog. And therefore, this means of knowledge, again we have to say that Veda tells, nobody tells. Veda tells. If somebody says, I read it in a paperback, it's all Vedic statement. Somehow it reaches people, and wherever there is a book, that is Veda. If anything says like this, you are the whole, and you are non-dual, all that is there is non-dual reality, limitless, then that is called Vedanta. That is Vedanta. Let it be in any language, in any place. That is Vedanta. Even in heaven, the truth is the same. Suppose somebody says, I want God to reveal to me. Hey, what is revealed is only revealed by God. But suppose you are, I want God directly to come and reveal to me. But directly means what? Directly means what? Suppose, no, I worship God in this form. And He should come in that form and tell me that I am the whole. All right, let Him come in that form. Your prayer is answered. What will He tell? He will say, all that is there, one limitless reality, and that is you. That's all He will say. What else He can say? He can't say anything else. Therefore, so He has to say, I am you, you are I am. That's all what He can say. What He can say? He cannot say anything else. That is Vedanta. There is nothing more can be said. Therefore, the Shastra becomes the Pramana. So, to cut that part of Pramana, which I am not doing here. So, Shastra becomes Pramana. Vritti Jnanam has to take place to get rid of avidya, both. Avidya means the vastu agrahanam and anyata agrahanam. Vastu agrahanam, not recognizing the vastu as it is, and then taking it wrongly. Because not knowing itself is not a problem. In sleep there is no problem for the sleeper. Even though he is not disturbed by his own snoring. He is not disturbed. He snores away. But the neighborhood is disturbed. But he is not disturbed. Therefore, there is agrahanam, vastu agrahanam. But there is no anyata agrahanam. Anyata agrahanam means misperception. Agrahanam means non-perception. Not knowing anything. So a lot of things we don't know. They don't really harm. But certain things you have to know. Here this is the thing. So, not knowing myself who is limitless, the loss is limitless. Therefore, and I am already self-revealing. I exist, I am. Then what I am has to be concluded. Then I am given a body-mind-sense complex and therefore I take this to be myself. Nothing more I can say about myself. Therefore I am limited. The general conclusion is I am limited. And therefore I cannot accept that also, because it is against me. It is against the reality. Because I become small. I become insignificant. Then I want to get better, to be different. I want to be different. The becoming. This is called becoming life. Always becoming. So that is samsara. Therefore, there is a big discussion on this avidya. Whether this avidya is absence of knowledge or it is opposed to knowledge. Let us say it is absence of knowledge. So, what absence of what knowledge? Is it absence of knowledge doesn't exist because two things. Any knowledge has got the truth, and the truth is consciousness. There is no absence of jnana jnapti. There is no absence of consciousness. Every absence is object of consciousness. If there is absence of ajnanam, then you are aware of absence of ajnanam. That means absence of consciousness doesn't exist. So if there is absence of consciousness, you have to be conscious of the absence of consciousness, which reveals there is consciousness. And therefore, this absence is all that silly. Absence of consciousness is not correct. Absence of knowledge, that doesn't exist either. If there is all knowledge, because you see a jagat here, this jagat you are seeing, the world you are seeing, it's all given, presupposes knowledge. Your body is given, and this presupposes knowledge. Mother doesn't know. Mother doesn't know how to make a body. And much less father knows. So both of them don't know. They find themselves as mother and father. That's why they feel good. So without qualification, they become creators. No qualification. Because when you create something, you know. But here there is a creation without any knowledge and any skill, nothing. It's given. Their body itself is given. The possibility is given. Everything is given, and therefore there is a giver somewhere. And you must be all giver of everything, all knowledge. That is also Shastra talks about.
Because that argument doesn't seem very strong to me, Swamiji.
Eh?
That argument doesn't seem very strong.
Why?
It just to say that because the creation is here, it presupposes knowledge.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a strong argument.
It is strong argument.
Why? What's wrong
because
about
it? Because all that is here is knowledge.
Why? That's a little different, but then you're saying all that is here is knowledge, all that is here is manifest knowledge, then you're
That is the second step. Okay. That's the second step. Srishti. This is important. This is also important. Nimitta Karanam has to be established. Because it's all knowledge. Afterwards, Upadana when we come to, we say there is no Upadanam or Nimittam and all this go away. There is only one knowledge, manifest knowledge. That is further arrived at. The steps are like this. So first you establish Nimitta Karanam. And then the Nimitta Karanam of a theologian is different. He's sitting somewhere. That's why nothing works. So for us Nimitta Karanam is that establish everything is intelligently put together. Like my eyes and ears, intelligently put together, somewhere there should be knowledge. It should be either with my mother or with my father or with somebody. And where is that knowledge? That is how we arrive. And that knowledge, wherever it abides, not only this body, everything that is here. And therefore that knowledge afterwards we look into the material cause and we find there is no second material cause. When there is no second cause other than the nimitta, therefore there is one cause. If one cause means, then the effect is not separate from the cause. One cause means material cause also the same. And the material cause has got one reality. And the reality is the effect cannot be away from the material. That is the reality. So the effect cannot be away from the material is the reality. And the material is not separate from knowledgeable person, that conscious being. And therefore, so Ishvara becomes, all knowledge becomes the very creation. That goes without big discussion. We can discuss that also. That's a different topic.
Okay.
So this is Ishvara. My contention here is, if there is all knowledge, there is no new knowledge. There is no absence of knowledge. There is no absence of knowledge. Here is knowledge. All knowledge is there. Same consciousness, all knowledge. Where is the absence of knowledge? Therefore, you are not creating, there is no absence of consciousness as knowledge. If you say jnanam is consciousness, there is no absence of consciousness. If you say all knowledge of Ishvara, there is no absence of all knowledge. Also, absence of knowledge doesn't exist because all knowledge is Ishvara, all knowledge is consciousness, and therefore there is always all knowledge. But then why I am not? I am the same consciousness. How come I am not all knowledge? You asked it. See, that is the question. And that is because you are inhibited by ajnanam. This inhibition is called avarana. In psychological avarana is there. This is ontological avarana. Psychological avarana is unconscious. Or any mistake implies avarana. Here, dream experience also is avarana and vikshepa. Vikshepa is projection. Avarana is veil. Therefore, here there is avarana. That is ajnana. The inhibiting factor of all knowledge. So, that means every individual is all knowledge, including a mosquito. All knowledge. But all knowledge is inhibited. By ajnanam, mula ajnanam, and thula ajnanam. So thula ajnanam is object knowledge, and mula ajnanam is vastu ajnanam. Namarupa ajnanam, and vastu ajnanam. Vastu ajnanam is the cause for samsara. Namarupa ajnanam, if only you don't know anything, without iPad and all that, if you don't know what is iPad, nothing is lost. We lived without iPad. Now we were as good as we are now, without iPad. Without email also we were okay. But without vastu jnanam, mahati vinashti. Nachediha avedit mahati vinashti. The loss is infinite. Therefore, ajnanam, or avidya you say, ajnanam is not jnana abhavam. It is not absence of knowledge. Absence of knowledge cannot create anything. You are committing a mistake. Vastu is taken for something else. So vastu is taken for something else because of a hetu. The hetu we remove by jnanam. If without hetu, if you commit a mistake, you will be committing mistake always. Because you don't require a hetu. You don't require a hetu because a causeless mistake, if you do. Then after correcting the mistake, again you will commit the mistake because it doesn't need a cause. So mistakes are suddenly you will find yourself samsara waking up. Yesterday I was a Jivan Mukta, today. Yeah. Leave it. Now I got something to do.
Okay, but there's still some more on the
side.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay.